Hi, and welcome to Season 3 of Show Tunes with Kate Botello from Interlochen Public Radio. Coming up on the show, neighbors, pesky and otherwise, and we'll hear some songs about a hot-button issue, the telephone. Then it's a wicked intermission. We'll talk with the lovely Emily Koch, who just wrapped up her turn as Elphaba in the national tour of Wicked. In Act 2, feeling down? Need a boost to your self-esteem? We've got you covered. Lights are dimming in our virtual house, and the orchestra is warming up for tonight's overture. Please identify the exit nearest you and silence your cell phone. There will be lots of great phone-related stuff coming up soon, I promise. Tonight's overture and finale come from the 1978 show On the 20th Century, which is a luxury train full of theater types from the 1920s. Overture by Cy Coleman was for the farce On the 20th Century. We'll hear the finale at the end of the show. And now we'll have a little tribute to a perpetual source of entertainment and curiosity, at least if you're Gladys Kravitz.
There's something very strange about her.
Gladys, will you stop?
No, I will not. It is time that people found out about this house. Oh, weird things go on in here. They have powers, supernatural powers. Abner, make her stop!
Yes, that's right. The neighbors. Maybe they're the lovely type who always have an extra cup of sugar if you run out. Maybe they're mysterious. Maybe they're noisy. Whatever type of neighbors you've got, here's a series of songs for all of them. By the way, we did a little crowdsourcing with our friends and neighbors for this section, so many thanks for your suggestions. We'll hear from Everyday Rapture, The Most Happy Fella, The Perils of Pauline, and a feature number written specifically for Kristen Chenoweth. And hey, if you're listening at home, turn the show up really loud so your neighbors can enjoy it too. I'm sure they will thank you.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, won't you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please?
Please. gotta move. That's what I tell my landlord. Landlord, I gotta move. 'Cause there's a man lives right upstairs from me, making a nightmare of some melody. This is a situation not likely to improve. He goes a rumble, rumble, rumble on the left hand. He goes a tinkle, tinkle, tinkle on the right. Rumble, 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 tinkle, 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 plays piano all night. He goes a rumble, rumble, rumble on the bottom. He goes a tinkle, tinkle, tinkle on the top. Rumble, 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 tinkle, 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 positively won't stop. I try to knock a knock a knock on the ceiling. I try to knock a knock a knock on the wall. He takes a breather. No, he doesn't either. Just when I figure that's all. He goes a rumble, rumble, rumble on the black keys. He goes a tinkle, tinkle, tinkle on the white. Rumble, 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 tinkle, 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 plays piano all right, but he plays piano all night. Instead of cooking himself a quiet kettle of tea up there, or maybe getting himself a girl and taking her out somewhere, instead of sitting around, reading the jokes, washing his socks, writing his folks, taking a pill, sleeping the night through, what does he do? What does he do? He goes a rumble, rumble, rumble. Look at the whole building crumble. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Look at the wallpaper wrinkle. Rumble, rumble, rumble. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. He could give insomnia to Rip Van Winkle with that rumble, rumble, rumble. I've got a good right to grumble. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. I'm going to raise quite a stomping, will you? Rumble! Tinkle! Police! Somebody break his lease! I tried to hammer, hammer, hammer on the steam pipe. I tried to holler, holler. Fumbling with his left hand. He goes grope, grope, grope with his right. A fumbly fum, grope, a fumbly fum, grope, a fumbly grope. Fumble till he gets it right. Then he plays piano, plays piano.
So cozy, calm, and peaceful. Heaven for a mouse like me, with quiet by the leaseful. Pets are banned, parties too, and no solicitations. Window seat with garden view, a perfect nook to read a book. I'm lost in my Jane Austen when I hear say it isn't so. Not the flat below. From an opera wannabe in 13G, a matinee of some cantata, Wagner's Ring and Traviata. I'll put up with Puccini, brew myself a cup of tea, crochet until she's feeny. 8:30, not a peep, except the clock tick-tocking. Now I lay me down to sleep, a comfy bed to rest my head, a stretch, a yawn, I'm almost gone. The girl upstairs wakes me unawares, blowing down from 15G her reveille. She's scatting like her name is elegant. dancers a cappella.
Zoop doo doo Florida-door. Zoop doo doo Florida-door.
I'm not one to raise my voice, make a fuss, or speak my mind, but might I query, would you mind if, could you kindly stop? That felt good.
In 14G was written specifically for Kristen Chenoweth by Janine Tesori and Dick Scanlon, based on her own real-life experiences living in an apartment building with fellow artistes when she first moved to New York. Before that, Betty Hutton belted out Rumble, Rumble, Rumble by Robert Emmett Dolan from the 1947 film The Perils of Pauline. All the Neighbors and All the Neighbors' Neighbors turned out for Frank Lesser's Sposalizio, thanks to listener David Curtis for that one. And we started out with Sherry Renee Scott with Won't You Be My Neighbor, one of several songs from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood featured in her semi-autobiographical show, Everyday Rapture. Both music and lyrics were by the man himself, Fred Rogers.
Please won't you be my neighbor? You know, learning things like songs and new words, and thinking about neighbors and friends are all ways of growing, growing inside. And part of the fun of that kind of growing is that it can go on all our lives.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Maybe we'll all learn some new words and grow inside as we hear some great tunes about the telephone. Now, you may have heard The Telephone Hour from Bye Bye Birdie or something from Bells Are Ringing on one of our previous episodes, but we've got a few other songs for you that might have a familiar ring to them. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. We're about to hear The Telephone Song from Cabaret, Telephone Girlie from No No Nanette, and a showstopper from Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown with some voicemail messages from Rent sprinkled throughout.
Hello?
Hello! Sitting all alone like that, you happen to catch my eye. Would you like to buy a girl a drink?
Sorry.
Ah, goodbye.
Hello?
Hello! Table 4, East Calling Number 9, how are you, mister?
Like a fine.
Sitting all alone like that, you happen to catch my eye. Would you like to give a girl a dance?
Yeah, why not?
Goodbye.
Alone, alone, shouldn't sit down like that. Alone, alone, alone.
like this. Alone, alone, you shouldn't sit alone like that. Alone, 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 and act like this. You happen to catch my eye. Would you like to buy a girl a drink? Would you like to buy a man a drink? Would you like to buy a boy a drink?
Working. Mark, Mark, are you there? Are you screening your calls? It's Mom. We wanted to call and say we love you and we'll miss you tomorrow. Cindy and the kids are here. Send their love. Oh, I hope you like the hot plate. Just don't leave it on, dear, when you leave the house. Oh, and Mark, we're sorry to hear that Maureen dumped you. I say lovey. So let her be a lesbian. There are other fishies in the sea. Love, Mom.
Operator, operator. Hello, hello, telephone girlie, please tell my wife I'm here. Hello, hello, do I hear you, Lucille? Please come over, dear. Wifey, darling, please don't hang up again. All alone, I don't want to sup again. Now you've wrecked it, she's disconnected.
Never fear,
we are here.
You're a silly little Billy.
You forget the evening hasn't started yet.
When little wifey hangs up, remember there are other names in the book. Some little number whose cup will cheer you if you take the trouble to look. While the hour's early, call some girlie. Lift that old receiver off the hook. Get busy.
When little wifey hangs up,
remember there are other names in the book.
Who'd be more adorable than Flair on a date? You know who'd be good? Little Winnie would.
Little Winnie would be good, but Betty would be great.
I am free for a spree.
I am too.
What say you?
Laura, Betty, Winnie, and there's also Madcap May, a fascinating Faye, cute and cuddly Kay. Ella, Della, Stella, Isabella, Sue, and that's to mention just a few. When little wifey hangs up, remember there are other names in the book. Some little number whose cup will cheer you if you take the trouble to look. While the hour's early, call some girlie. Lift that old receiver off the hook. Get busy.
When little wifey hangs up,
remember there are other names in the...
Other names in the...
Other names in the...
Speak.
Mark Cohen, Alexi Darling, Labor Day weekend in East Hampton on the beach. Just saw Alec Baldwin, told him you said hi. Just kidding. We still need directors, you still need money. You know you need money. Pick up the phone, don't be afraid of kerching, kerching. Marky, sell us your soul. Just kidding, we're waiting.
Aiko Nakasone and Kristen Lee Kelly left the voicemails in Jonathan Larson's 1996 show, Rent. Bobby Vann sang Telephone Girlie from Irving Caesar, Otto Harbach, and Vincent Yeoman's 1971 version of No, No, Nanette, and the ensemble of John Kander and Fred Ebb's 1966 musical Cabaret flirted mercilessly with the telephone song. That was from our vinyl vault. And now, as promised, a tour de force from Laura Benanti as the increasingly unhinged model Candela with model behavior from women on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
You have 27 messages.
Peppa? Peppa, it's me. Are you there? Call me!
Hi, it's me again. Candela, where are you?
problem in the shower and I've only got a minute. Cause the problem in the shower is this guy that I've been dating, named Malik. He's what they were, swarthy like a desert sheik. And he's been here in my apartment for about a week. I met him down at Cafe Sombra and I know you think I'm overly romantic, but you wouldn't believe the connection we had. Like immediately I was ready for him to meet my mom. Like I could feel my heart exploding like some kind of bomb. Which is ironic because actually I think he literally has some kind of... Anyway, Grandpa, happy birthday. Say hello to Grandma and be sure and think, oh, that was him. I may be jumping to conclusions, God, I hope I am. He thinks I'm thin and he's got shoulders like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Listen, call me when you hear this. I'll be here for half an hour. Call me back. Peppa, are you there? Are you there? Are you okay? You're not there, but we need to talk. My stomach's aching like I swallowed some enormous rock. I'm at the phone booth on the corner and I've only got a minute. Cause I'm running out of change cause I've been lending all my money to Malik. God knows with men I'm not exactly on a lucky streak. But this one really is a mess, I think I'm gonna freak. I know you say I'm an alarmist, but I'm not. Remember there's that time I thought I saw a spider. You said, nah, it's a raisin, but it suddenly started moving and it crawled over and bit me on the toe. So if you're gonna stand in judgment, that's how much you know. It's a good thing I didn't eat it, but I never would have eaten it. Cause I never did like raisins, so why would there be a raisin on the floor? So when you hear this, call me back, I'll wait a little more. I'll be at 773. Damn, they scratched out the number and misspelled vagina. Alright, I'm hanging up, I'll call you back. Which sucks because I'm having trouble working. Cause the only thing I think about is this crazy situation with Malik. I don't know what I'm gonna do if you and I don't speak. I know you think I'm just a drama queen, but actually I'm practical. And damn it, I'm a model, so of course I feel things deeper than most people typically do. And anyway, I think my life might be in danger too. You won't believe what he's got eaten in the Fernando's working here. He's lost a lot of weight. And while he got that thing removed, he just looks Peppa, Marcos, is a Zala. And now he's telling me we're shooting, so I've got to go. It's some big deal, a campaign, I don't know what it's for. They've got me posing with a melon and a matador. Some kind of metaphor. Call me back! Peppa, it's 8. I don't know why you're treating me like this. Peppa, it's almost 10 o'clock, you really are a terrible friend. Peppa, I'm sorry, I've never felt so frightened in a row. I'm like a helpless little kid in love, but hey, I'm on the f***ing phone! Please call me back. Peppa, it's midnight, are you screening?
It's 3 a.m., you have to call me.
But never do this to you, what kind of a friend?
What was the name of that cheese that I like?
Peppa, sweetheart, listen, I need to tell you.
Tape is full. End of messages.
Peppa, okay, now even your machine's ignoring me. Listen, Peppa, I know you think I'm needy, but you've got to see. I'm feeling kind of woozy, I've been crying for an hour. My boyfriend has an Uzi and he doesn't clean the shower. And I don't know where you are, I don't know where I am. I'm halfway up a tree, I'm completely in a jam. I'm out here in the desert and nobody gives a damn. Peppa, 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 call me
back. That was Laura Benanti with my new favorite show tune, Model Behavior. That was from David Yazbek's 2010 musical of the Pedro Almodóvar film. Now, I'm sure all that singing about the telephone is making you anxiously check your pockets. And yes, you could take a quick second to check your email because the virtual house lights are coming up and it's time for intermission.
Now, while you've got your phone out, text your friends and tell them to hurry up and meet you in the lobby, or they will be green with envy, because the lovely and talented Emily Koch is here. Emily stopped by our studios on the last leg of her journey with the national touring company of Wicked and gave us an inside look at the intense life of an Elphaba. Emily Koch, thank you so much for coming into Show Tunes today.
Thank you, Kate. I'm so excited to be here.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your progression here as Elphaba. You're in the national tour, but you started out as a standby, and then you became lead.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the standby for Elphaba, what do?
You literally stand by. I mean, you are in the building for the entire show, and you just sit there on a couch and kind of, you know, do whatever you want to do. And if something goes wrong in that show, you would go on. Also, if the girl was sick who's actually playing Elphaba before that, you know, you'd get like an hour's notice or something that you'd be going on. So you're always like the first call cover.
Then do you have another standby waiting if you're going on as understudy?
There is an understudy for Elphaba in the ensemble. So she has an ensemble track that she does every night. But she would only go on if I was also as the standby sick. So it's not super often that she gets to go on. But yeah, there is another one just in case.
But so you wait.
Yeah,
you sit and wait. You wait for the siren to go off, basically.
Yep.
Like, and then it's you to the rescue.
Exactly, like Batman. You get like the bat signal. Exactly.
So what happens that makes an Elphaba leave in the middle of the show?
I have gone on for Elphabas in the middle of the show. I have also left in the middle of two shows. Usually it's if, in my case, when I left in the middle of the show, I had had strep throat the day before and had gone on meds and everything. And I was like, no, I'm definitely better. I can do it. You need more than a day's rest if you have strep throat. So I got out there, finished Wizard and I, and I was like, you know, I don't know if the rest of this is smart. I think I'm going to get out of here in the middle. And when I was standby, that it's usually a similar thing, coming back too early from sickness or suddenly getting sick in the middle. You know, one girl had the stomach flu, like just hit her kind of out of nowhere. And so I went on in the middle of the show.
And this is kind of one of the rare roles that requires that kind of standby.
Yeah.
I mean, next to Evita, maybe?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Pretty much the hardest role in musical theater.
Yeah, and I would say it's even, I mean, I haven't played Evita, so I don't know, but I would say it's even harder just because, you know, Evita kind of sits in one register the entire time. Like, it's like once you start, you're like singing kind of in this like same voice all the time. Elphaba has, you know, like four different voices. You know, like she has like a light, like mixy. She has like giant high belting. She has like low growly belting. She has very quiet and lyrical, you know, so it's all over the place. And it covers like three octaves, which is just so crazy.
Nessa, Dr. Dillema,
that's Idina Menzel on the cast recording of Wicked. We don't have a recording of Emily, but all the Elfies have to sing the same stuff every night. Okay, back to the interview. 8 shows a week.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
That's 8 defying gravities a week.
That is 8 defying gravities a week. And I like to do all 8. Some Elphabas don't, and like that's totally your prerogative. You have to know your voice, and you have to know your, you know, because it is so physically taxing. But I like the all 8, and so I think my record of not missing a show is like 52 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, which was a lot. I was definitely exhausted by the end of that, but you know, I just like to do all of them. It's just fun.
How long have you done this role?
Full time, I've done it. I guess we're circling in on like 9 months, like a little bit less than 9 months.
If somebody is seeing Elphaba on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
okay, you've got a good thousands every week that are seeing that happen in one particular geographical location.
Yeah.
But you are the Elphaba to countless thousands of people all over the United States.
That is so crazy. I actually never thought about it like that, but it's true. Yeah, I guess I am. So nuts.
It is, you know, because a lot of people will say, oh, but I want the Broadway run. But in a way, it's almost like, I won't say a bigger stamp, but it's a huge stamp of confidence to say, you know, you're the Elphaba that we want the whole nation to see.
Right. Yeah, it does feel like that. It is major responsibility. And I definitely feel that. I think that's why I'm so devoted to trying to do all eight of the shows, is because, like, I've been given this, like, amazing gift that I'm like, okay, well, I've got to, like, earn it, you know? Like, I got to, like, you know, you got to own that because it's so important and that character's so important to so many people. So you really want to live up to that, mm-hmm. you know?
And that's got to be real. I mean, there have to be a lot of hopeful little faces waiting for you at the stage door.
Oh, yeah. That's what's so crazy. I mean, because I was such a huge fan of the show growing up. I mean, I was Elphaba for Halloween multiple times, including here at Interlochen when I was at the Academy. And, you know, that role meant so much to me. And so sometimes I see these girls who are like my same age, you know, who in seventh or eighth grade that are like, I love this part. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I wish you would believe me that I was just you. You know what I mean? Because sometimes I think, like, I'll tell them that. I'm like, I felt the exact same way. And, you know, and I don't know if they totally believe me because it just seems so surreal, but I really was just them. So it's pretty cool.
That's really neat. And then to wait until eventually, maybe, hopefully, they become you.
I know. Well, I mean, they probably will now that, you know, Wicked's such a hit. To put it lightly, it's cool. I said to one of our resident directors, I was like, it's like the first generation of fans of the show that are now in the show, which is really cool.
Oh, that kind of blows my mind. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it that way.
Like, that's where it's getting to. Because, you know, a lot of people before didn't know what Wicked was and didn't grow up with it. And so that it was just like a job. But now us that grew up loving this soundtrack, now we're doing it, you know.
It's 13 years old.
It's 13 years old. Yeah.
It's the life of an entire middle schooler.
Exactly. Exactly.
This show.
I know. You know, to have it come out when I was in middle school, it's just such a, like, formative time. And to have this, like, strong-willed character who didn't care if people were making fun of her, you know, it's just, like, so important. I think it's just, like, the perfect age to have that. There's something about knowing that you've done the musical theater Olympics.
Right? Yes.
That, you know, you just carry it with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah. She's got that 1,000-mile stare of a long-term Elphaba.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Just like it lives in you forever. Like, you've been on the battlefield. You'll never forget it.
So if you're going to pick out a song for us today I'm guessing it's going to be The Wizard and I, but it doesn't have to be.
I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I just think, like, I mean, it just sets up her whole character. And I just think that's the one to listen to. It's just so inspiring. That's the first song I ever heard from the show, too. So I thought about it on the walk over. I was like, got to play Wizard and I.
All right. Emily Koch, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Kill the People, Toy, Toy, Toy. And can't wait to see what you do next.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, Miss Elphaba, many years I have waited for a gift like yours to appear. Why, I predict the wizard could make you his magic grand vizier. I'll write at once to the wizard. Tell him of you in advance. With a talent like yours, dear, there is a definite chance if you work as you should. You'll be making
Did that really just happen? Have I actually understood this weird quirk I tried to suppress or hide is a talent that could help me meet the wizard if I make good. So I'll make good. Thank you. I prove my worth. And then I meet the wizard, what I've waited for since birth. And with all his wizard wisdom, by my looks he won't be blinded. Do you think the wizard is dumb, or like Munchkin, so small-minded? No, he'll say to me, I see who you truly are, a girl on whom I can rely. And that's how we'll begin, the wizard and I. Once I'm with the wizard, my whole life will change. 'Cause once you're with the wizard, no one thinks you're strange. No father is not proud of you, no sister acts ashamed, and all of Oz has to love you when by the wizard. If I degreenify you, of course that's not important to me. All right, why not? I'll reply, oh, what a pair will be, the wizard and I. Yes, what a pair will be, the wizard and unlimited. My future is unlimited, and I've just had a vision almost like a prophecy. I know it sounds truly crazy, and true, the vision's hazy, but I swear someday there'll be a celebration throughout Oz that's all to do.
Thank you so much, fabulous Emily Koch. It was so much fun to hang out with you. I hope we'll get to see you again soon. Oh, there's the bell. So it's time to head back into our virtual house for Act Two. And now, speaking of fabulous, do you need a little confidence booster sometimes? Well, take a lesson from these three, because they've got self-esteem to spare. We'll hear tunes from Funny Girl, Starmites, and La Cage aux Folles, all great songs to sing to yourself if you're having a bad day.
Listen, I got 36 expressions, sweet as pie to tough as leather. And that's 6 expressions more than all them Barrymores put together. Instead of just kicking me, why don't they give me a lift? It must be a plot, 'cause they're scared that I got such a gift. Well, I'm miffed, 'cause I'm the greatest star. I am by far
but no one knows it. Wait, they're gonna hear a voice, a silver flute. They'll cheer each toot. Yay, she's terrific. When I expose it, now can't you see to look at me that I'm a natural Camille. As Camille I just feel I've so much to offer. Kid, I know I'd be divine because I'm a natural coffer. Some ain't got it, not a lump. I'm a great big clump of talent. Laugh! They'll bend in half. Did you ever hear the story about the traveling salesman? 1,000 jokes. Stick around for the jokes. 1,000 faces. I reiterate, when you're gifted, then you're gifted. These are facts. I got no axe to grind. Hey, what are they blind? In all of the world so far, I'm the greatest star. Who is the pip with pizzazz? Who is all ginger and jazz? Who is as glamorous as? Who's an American beauty rose with an American beauty nose and 10 American beauty toes? Eyes on the target and wham! One shot, one gunshot and bam! Hey, Mr. Ziegfeld, here I am. I'm the greatest star. I am by far, but no one knows it. That's why I was born. I'll blow my horn till someone blows it. I light up like a light, light up like a light, a flicker than flame. Clamor for my drama. Have you guessed yet who's the best yet? If ya ain't, I'll tell ya one more time. You met your last time in all of the world so far. I'm the greatest, greatest.
never be rude. Cause it's hard. Hard. It's hard.
Hard.
It's hard. Hard. Baby, it's hard. Hard. It's a hard, a hard, a hard, a hard lot. But you've got to believe
it. You better believe it.
Believe it.
You better believe it.
Believe it. Believe it.
Believe it.
Believe it.
Believe it.
Believe
it.
It may be hard to be the diva, but it's so much harder not to be. I am so tired. Oh, it's hard.
Hard.
Yes, it's hard.
Hard.
Hey, it's hard.
Hard.
Baby, it's hard.
Hard.
Said it's a hard, a hard, a hard, a hard lot. I kid you not. A hard, hard, a hard, hard lot. My nerves are shot. A hard, 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 hard lot. When you've got to be the diva.
Diva.
What I am. I am my own special creation. So, come take a look. Give me the hook. Or the ovation, it's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise, I think it's pretty. Each feather and each spangle, why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses.
And with that, George Hearns Albin, a.k.a. the drag queen Zaza, tears off her wig and storms triumphantly from the stage at the end of Act 1 of Jerry Herman's La Cage aux Folles. Before that, It's hard to be a diva. Gwen Stewart filled in for Sharon McKnight as the diva from Inner Space on the studio cast recording of Barry Keating's 1989 sci-fi musical, Starmites. And we kicked off our self-confidence boosters with our original vinyl recording of Barbra Streisand singing I'm the Greatest Star from Julie Stein and Bob Merrill's 1964 Funny Girl. It's time now for tonight's finale from On the 20th Century. That was the cast of On the 20th Century by Cy Coleman, Betty Comden, and Adolph Green. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, the house lights come up, and we come to the end of another episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Find all our episodes online at interlochenpublicradio.org. Michael Culler engineered the show. Meg Gruitz was our supervising producer. Thanks again to the lovely Emily Koch for hanging out with us at intermission. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.